This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shanning and Roshan. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to be tackling the issue of FGV as well as Inmarsat. But let's, in the meantime, talk about the repeal of the Official Secrets Act. So the minister in the Prime Minister's department, Dato' Liew Wee Keong, has confirmed yesterday that the government will be repealing the OSA, that's the Official Secrets Act of 1972, and be replacing it with the proposed Freedom of Information Act. But some vital parts of the outgoing OSA will need to live on in the new act.
The bill is expected to be tabled in Parliament in mid-2020, and reviewing the OSA was part of Harapan's manifesto back in GE14, one part of the manifesto which they look to try and resolve. And the OSA allows the government to classify any document as secret under the pretense of national security. And this allows them to imprison those who release such information for up to 7 years. The Act provides that anything can be declared secret. All it needs is someone who is in public service and has been appointed by the minister.
Do you guys find the optics very funny? Because we went from the Official Secrets Act, which sounds very ominous, to naming it the Freedom of Information Act. But essentially, they're about the same thing.
I know.
Just clever use of terminology,
it's
right?
Semantics.
Taking it, 180 degrees kind of turn, but essentially, it's about how the government's going to continue keeping some secrets.
So it's a little bit like what Elina Noor was saying about the foreign policy direction. Same, same, but different.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to see what is actually in the bill, right? To see what is whether it's different enough. Because, I mean, I'm hoping that the naming of this indicates the intent, right? Because it all comes down to intent. Why these I mean, governments need to keep secrets. That is
for sure,
right? This is the thing.
But they cannot use it as an excuse sometimes,
correct,
which they have done in the past, right? To keep documents away from the public's eyes.
Oh, what are you talking about, Shanning?
Well,
could it be a four-letter acronym that we all know very close to our hearts, 1MDB?
And in fact, which is in the news once again, because the law has been criticized for this lack of transparency, or worse, to cover up government scandals. And the legitimacy of the OSA was raised during the 1MDB trial after Noor Salwani Mohammed. She revealed that she had secretly retained a draft copy of the original 1MDB report, which was audit destroyed. The final 1MDB audit report was classified under the OSA. And so former Auditor General Tan Sri Amrin Buang even told the High Court yesterday that he gave the order to Noor Salwani and had the certification under OSA to do so for internal use. And this has generated quite a lot of debate over whether she could be prosecuted under the OSA for retaining this draft copy. And even amongst constitutional lawyers, the decision is quite split. The reactions have been very mixed.
Yeah, is it a matter of is this a whistleblowing effect, or was this illegal? Is anyone actually going to do anything about it? These are the questions that are going to come up and are going to be debated, as we've just said, right? Within legal minds, there is a bit of a ambiguity about how this goes forward.
Yeah, because there does seem to be the consensus that what she did would fall under the category of whistleblowing, and then that she therefore should not be prosecuted. But some say that nevertheless, retaining a copy of that report could make her liable for prosecution under the OSA. Other people say that no, it doesn't make her liable because the OSA governs unauthorized release of documents classified under the OSA. So because she didn't actually release the document, therefore she wouldn't necessarily be charged under the OSA. So it's all really these very fine interpretations of the law, basically.
And it comes down to intent as well, right? It's whether there was intent to harm the country and its national security, whether it was meant to give advantage to a foreign power.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't think so, because the whole world seems to know about 1MDB anyway. And
what kind of advantage could be given further than that?
We've appeared in every single CNN, every major newspaper, every major news channel has featured 1MDB. There is really no more secrets left, right? So, yeah, I think for me, what she did was morally right. The debate can continue whether she has breached any law. Mm-hmm. But, we do need brave people like her to keep these documents. Otherwise, maybe the true story would have never come out, or at least we wouldn't have a record of it.
But also just remind me, guys, because this is the same 1MDB report, 1MDB audit report that saw Rafizi Ramli charged under the OSA. So it's just kind of ironic now that this same report is being raised once again. But then now the conversation is that, oh, no, she definitely shouldn't be prosecuted because she's definitely a whistleblower. At the time, Rafizi could also definitely have been considered a whistleblower. But it's just that he, unfortunately, was on the wrong side of the political divide.
Yeah, that's the debate that's happening also, right? Because sometimes a whistleblower can be going against the law, as we have seen with the biggest whistleblower on earth, I think, Edward Snowden, who is now hiding in Russia because he has nowhere else to go. He didn't choose to hide in Russia. He just happened to get his passport cancelled in Russia. And if he ends up going back to the States, he knows he has to face not just a normal court, he has to face a military court. And that's what he doesn't want.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to face justice, but he wants it in an actual court as opposed to a military court, which will just throw him in a black box for the foreseeable future.
Well, everybody wants to keep secrets, and apparently it extends to our opposition MPs, right? Because according to our minister, most of them, the opposition MPs, haven't actually declared their assets, have they?
Yeah, so that's a bit of a lapse there. So MACC was apparently still waiting for copies of asset declarations from the opposition MPs, although the deadline for the submission lapsed almost a month ago. Now, if you remember, this was a motion that was approved in July. So the Dewan Rakyat approved this motion compelling all MPs to declare their assets, as well as those of their spouses, their children and trustees, through a statutory declaration.
Yeah, and you know, some people have come up and said that, oh, they haven't done this because they're scared of being kidnapped or extorted or any of these things. And what I say is then quit, right? This is now the rule. This is now the law. Go and declare your assets. If you don't want to face those risks, then leave, right? And let's just see how that by-election does. But this is the rule now. Follow the rule.
Yeah, I mean, our minister, Dato' Liew Wee Kiong, has warned that the Dewan Rakyat speaker may suspend and even impose a $1,000 fine on opposition lawmakers for parliamentary contempt if they fail to declare their assets by the extended deadline. So according to Liew, one of the main reasons, like you say, Roshan, is over safety and security. He said that MPs felt that by exposing their assets, family members may be at risk of extortion or kidnapping. Why extortion, though, if you have nothing to hide?
So this was the thing that I remember. This debate also came up at about the time when the motion was tabled and subsequently passed. And I just think that this is an excuse. It just feels like an excuse.
Well,
to me.
It's true
because this is what happens when you're in the public eye. You run this risk, and you should have known this before you went into it, right?
So that's the thing, right? Like, I understand maybe your assets are significant. Maybe let's not assume that it was illegally done. Mm-hmm. And you were now afraid for your family. And I mean, I appreciate that. I understand that. But now this is the rule. Everyone is declaring their assets. You've got to do it too. This is not an excuse that you can hide behind
and
anymore.
Honestly, all the Pakatan MPs have done it and nothing has happened. Touch wood.
Well, we are also running a poll this morning on the subject of transparency or national security. We're asking you what's more important to you, transparency or national security. Do let us know what you think. We've had about 40 votes so far, and the majority of them, 47%, kind of tends to veer on the side of can't we have both? But do let us know what you think. Right now, we're heading into the 7:30 news, though, and after that, we'll be speaking with Aoife O'Donoghue, Professor of International Law and Global Governance at Durham University, on the British elections. So be sure to stay tuned for that after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.